Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tata Coffee Q2 FY19 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Jogani from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you all on behalf of ICICI Securities to Tata Coffee's Q2 FY19 earnings conference call. We have with us on the call today Mr. Sanjeev Sarin, MD and CEO, and Mr. K. Venkataramanan, ED Finance and CFO. Thank you, and over to you, sirs.
Thanks. Good morning. This is Sanjeev Sarin here, MD and CEO, Tata Coffee. I'll quick update on the quarter two. So the July-September quarter has delivered a good performance. The company has posted a standalone profit after tax at 30 crores compared to rupees 24 crores for the corresponding quarter the previous year, a 25% jump in profitability. This has been driven by a strong performance of the soluble coffee business and our ability to monetize non-core assets. Our efforts over the last few months to expand our customer base of freeze-dried coffee have started paying off. In addition, there has been a healthy product mix, a strong focus on cost management, and some forex gains too. Operationally, it has been a challenging quarter with heavy rainfall in the plantations and the terminals continuing to be soft. Arabica coffee terminals remained soft through the quarter, reaching a 12-year low in the quarter. The terminals at the beginning of the quarter were $1.078 per pound, reaching a high of $1.13 and settling back to $1.02 at the end of the quarter. The terminals were $1.28 per pound the same time last year. The terminals have been impacted due to the record crop in Brazil this year and the depreciation of the Brazilian real. However, we are seeing a gradual improvement in the terminals over the last few weeks. The Robusta terminals dipped through the quarter, closing at $1,554 per metric ton on 3rd October, compared to $1,738 per metric ton at the start of the quarter and about $1,967 per metric ton same time last year. However, the Indian Robusta differentials have firmed up in the short term, driven by the shortage of crop. Pepper also continues to be in the lower band. While prices firmed up marginally for three, four months, the industry is under pressure with non-conventional trade flows for cheaper pepper from Vietnam. Industry bodies like the Karnataka Planters Association are working closely with the government to control these illegal imports at the earliest. Coorg experienced historic heavy rainfall of almost 78 inches against 49 inches in the previous year, which has severely impacted the planters in the region. Our focus has been ensuring safety of all employees and helping the community at this hour of need. The company has taken up several initiatives to support flood relief victims. Employees have also stepped up and volunteered for rehabilitation efforts being conducted in the area. The inclement weather has resulted in some tree fall, which is being attended to. Thanks to our strong cultural practices, there has been some limited impact on the coffee crop. Impact on pepper crop is being assessed and will be clearer in the next couple of weeks. A positive from this rainfall is that our irrigation tanks are filled and the water table has gone up. Annamalai production has been severely impacted due to the heavy rain. Rainfall was almost 98%, 152% higher than that decennial average in July and August respectively. However, tea yields also have started to pick up in the last fortnight of the quarter as weather conditions have improved. As mentioned earlier, I'm happy to inform you that the freeze-dried business has performed well. I had mentioned in the earlier calls about the non-performance of a key customer and our efforts to expand the customer base, our continued efforts are now starting to deliver results. Our instant coffee division continues to work on differentiated blend offerings, and we have had key breakthroughs in the Southeast Asian markets through these efforts. The company has continued to focus to expand our footprint with key customers and geographies. Soluble coffee sales have improved by 19% in the last quarter over the previous year's sales, as well as 18% higher than the first quarter of this financial year. We continue to focus on managing a sharp green bean supply chain to ensure we are close to the market terminals in a situation of soft terminals. Our partnership with Tata Starbucks is also getting stronger with growth of Starbucks stores across India, and we are now in the process of expanding our roasting capacity to service the growing needs. We have also continuously expanded the bought bean coffee business, and this has also shown a significant improvement in the quarter. Bought coffee has the added positive advantage of helping the smaller local plantation growers find a good price for their produce in a weak market environment. We have cross-functional teams working on costs, and I'm happy to report that we have identified significant savings which have helped in the quarter and will also flow through the year. Work on our Vietnam Greenfield FTC plant continues to be on schedule and is expected to start production in the last quarter of this current financial year, which is March. We are actively working with select customers to develop right blends for a seamless launch. The consolidated total income for the current quarter stood at 461 crores compared to 387 crores of the corresponding quarter of the previous year on account of higher sales recorded by 8 O'Clock Coffee. EOC has recorded a total income of $40.21 million for the current quarter compared to $32.75 million for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Consolidated profit after tax, net of non-controlling interest for the current quarter stood at 25 crores as compared to 23 crores of the corresponding quarter of the previous year. In summary, while we have witnessed adverse environmental factors in the quarter, the strong focus on customer acquisition, cost and operational efficiencies, monetizing non-core assets, and some favorable macroeconomic tailwinds have enabled us to deliver a good financial performance. I will now hand it over to my colleague Venkat, who will take you through the detailed financials.
Good morning. As Sanjeev has summarized, we have had a good quarter. The standalone turnover is up from 190 to 197, that's the total income, and profit has improved from 24 crores to 30 odd crores. This has been the major highlight has been a very superior performance from the soluble coffee business. The plantation profitability has been impacted due to especially due to the lower prices in Arabica and some impact on account of copper prices as well. The costs have been well managed. The exceptional item is on account of sale of non-core assets, as Sanjeev has said. On the consolidated, the 8 o'clock turnover is up, and the overall consolidated profit is also up compared to the quarter of the previous year. We will now take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star then one. The first question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Percy Panthaki here. Sir, my first question is, the Kerala floods, did it have any impact in terms of your standalone EBITDA? And if so, would it be possible to give an estimate of that?
Percy, there has you know, the impact is like this. See, first of all, we don't have anything to much in Kerala except for one estate in Annamalai, which was not impacted. As far as the Coorg rain is concerned, there has been, see, the coffee crop has been, you know, the shortfall, we don't expect, you know, significant or any significant shortfall in the coffee crop. It has been well managed. And again, the rain impact has been restricted to a couple of estates only for us. So we are confident that the impact on coffee crop is not significant at all. On pepper, we have to wait and see, because what is happening is, as you know, the harvest and setting process, etc., will probably commence only from the month of November, also October onwards. And pepper is much later in the fourth quarter, and so in fact it spills into the first quarter of the next financial year as well. So that much we can tell you, that the impact is not, we are not expecting anything significant in coffee at all. Pepper, we need to wait and see as to how the, you know, setting process and the harvest happens.
Okay, so basically this EBITDA margin, which has fallen to 8.5%, the only reason is that the coffee terminals are soft, or is there any other reason?
The reason is the coffee terminals being soft, and the pepper prices are also lower. And okay, not to forget, as Sanjeev mentioned, tea has had, again, anomalies that we'll have to see. That's nothing to do majorly with the, you know, rainfall per se. It has, you know, the agroclimatic conditions are not favorable. So we have had some impact on the tea crop in anomalies, which hopefully we are expecting that the Q3 will be better.
Okay. So, sir, would you be able to tell us what is the average realization on coffee that you have got this quarter and also in 2Q FY18?
You talk about green coffee or what?
Yeah.
So that is as per the terminals. The terminals are transparently available, and the fact that the only differences between terminals and us are coffees are trading at a significant premium because of all the effort that is going in, but that depends customer to customer.
So overall, Percy, just to answer you, I mean, we don't want to give specific numbers in that sense, but Arabica would have been impacted due to lower terminals, but Robusta has greatly benefited because the terminals plus what we call India differentials have been good.
Okay, so sir, wouldn't my understanding be correct that in India, mainly Robusta is a much bigger crop than Arabica, so if Robusta prices have gone up, they should more than make up for the fall in the Arabica prices?
Well, in a way, yes, you are right that the Robusta crop is much higher and Arabica is lower. But again, it depends on the cost factors as well. So we can't, you know, because normally Robusta crops are higher and Arabica is always at around 2,000 tons only. The average production will be around 2,000 tons of Arabica. So there are limitations in that sense.
But you're right. The differentials in Robusta are significantly higher, and therefore, as an overall, what you're saying is true.
So if that is the case, sir, then, I mean, I'm a little confused. If overall the coffee business has seen a better realization YOY, your blended average between Robusta and Arabica, so if there is a better realization, then what is the reason for the dip in margin? Is it solely on account of pepper?
So there are pepper, there is tea, there is coffee in Arabica and Robusta. The joint plantation is where the impact is, because like Venkat has mentioned, tea has had a shortfall because of the weather condition, and the pepper prices are significantly low at the moment.
Okay, but if I look at only the coffee business, Robusta and Arabica put together, then the EBITDA margins would be better YOY. Is that a fair understanding?
Subject to the crop, Percy. See, one has to look at, because there is the crop also. No, see, for example, we are, you know, estimating some crop and all that. So maybe Q3, Q4 will give you a better picture.
Okay, sir. And secondly, on 8 o'clock coffee, there has been a decline in the absolute EBITDA by about 16% to 17% on a YOY basis. So just wanted to understand the reason behind that.
Yeah, so you have to, I think this question had come similarly the previous time also. There is a shift in the business model that is happening in the 8 o'clock business, because we have taken over the direct dealing of the K-Cup distribution. And this is the phase where the market is readjusting and we are re-entering as independent suppliers into the market. So there's a temporary feel of where the pressure on expenditures and promotions are high to establish ourselves in the market. But the fact is that we have taken distribution over, so over the coming quarters, over the longer period, it will be significantly beneficial for the business.
Understood, sir. So in your opinion, how long will this pressure continue? Because it's been three quarters where we have seen YOY EBITDA decline. So how long do you think before we see the sort of absolute EBITDA go back to the FY18 levels?
That is a brilliant question. Left to me, I would like to see it happen immediately. But I'm sure the entire team is working to make it as fast as it can. I do know that distribution numbers are going up quarter on quarter, and that was the reason for taking over this entire category. And once the distribution has been taken over and we've re-established ourselves by getting all our listings on, the turnaround would be significant.
Understood, sir. And one last question on the standalone business again. Given where you see the market prices of coffee, tea, etc., and the visibility on the volume of crop that you are likely to generate, what is the prognosis for the next 1 to 2 quarters in your view? I mean, should we see, I mean, we've seen now your absolute EBITDA declining YOY for quite some time. So when is that trend likely to reverse based on whatever visibility we have right now?
It's very difficult to predict the market prices. I've also mentioned in my opening that we have already seen a bit of a turnaround in the market prices, both in Robusta terminals as well as the Africa terminals. Even pepper over the last 3-4 months has moved up by about from 380 down to about 400, if I'm not mistaken, right now. So the trend is upward at the moment. Now, how it sustains, what happens, is very difficult to predict. Okay, again, what our focus really has to be, independent of the terminals, we have to continue our effort in going to direct customers, talking about our premiumization efforts, keep maximizing all the efforts that we have in cost management so that we are able to protect our P&Ls.
So just a simplifying assumption, if all the commodities were to maintain at today's spot rates, then, I mean, in such a scenario, would you see the Q3 EBITDA sort of improving on a YOY basis?
You have the numbers with you. It's a mathematical exercise which you can do as much as
fair
I
enough,
can.
Sir. Fair enough. So you think it's fair for me to take just the simple average of the 90 days of the quarter as the average realization?
I can't answer that. I cannot answer that part of it.
Anyway, prices you have seen, Percy, how the Arabica terminals were and are now. But then we'll have to keep watching as to what happens.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kush Gangar from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, what would be the volume growth in instant coffee in Q2?
I think it's about 18 or 19 odd percent.
Okay, so that is the revenue growth and all is coming from volumes?
Mostly volumes.
No, it's volume and also the mix has improved significantly.
Okay, and which geography led this growth?
That is very difficult to tell you which geography has led the growth, but everywhere we have found that the improvements have been there. I don't want to mark up any specific geography, but clearly freeze-dried being driven a lot by Eastern Europe has performed very well in that category. But across the board, we've had this impact.
Okay, so basically my question was regarding the customer who had reduced their offtake. Have they been back to the original levels?
So, as I explained to you, we have actually gone ahead and developed a whole new portfolio of customers for the freeze-dried category.
Okay. But the volume growth you mentioned is 18-19% with prices reducing by, I think, around 10-odd% YOY. The volume growth should have been higher as our revenue growth is also similar. So,
No, the volume growth, what Sanjeev mentioned, is around that. Because there has been also there will be some, you know, FX benefit and all that which is coming in, no? In terms of turnover, I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. But the margins have not increased as commensurate with volumes as, because plantation business has been impacted severely. So the margins in instant coffee should have been increased to that extent, but that has not happened. So plantation has impacted severely, but coffee, instant coffee has not increased that much. So what are we missing?
There's nothing you're missing. The fact is that ICD is driven by its independent pricing, which is in a very competitive environment, and therefore, that is where ICD is performing. Within the portfolio which we have, which includes freeze-dried, agglomerated, and spray-dried, what I've been saying is the product mix has been healthier because the higher value added have sold more in the mix.
Okay. And what kind of utilization do we expect for Vietnam plant in first year of operations?
No, first year, see, we expect it to be, you know, sort of operational from, say, Feb or March, but that day, I don't think it's, you know.
Yeah, so FY 2019-20.
FY 2019-20 should be in the range of around 60-odd%, right? We expect. See, I'm just giving you a rough number, you know, what, let it, you know, stabilize.
You have to appreciate the fact that, A, it's a startup. So secondly, from our point of view, the faster we go to full capacity, the better. That's what our attempt is, which is why we're looking a lot at customer development, which I mentioned. We're talking about blend development to get a straight launch coming in, and all the effort is going in that area.
Okay. And on the plantation side again, so pepper production, you mentioned impact you are assessing.
Yes.
So pepper production may be down, coffee may be down slightly, prices have not increased. So do we expect current next few quarters also to be remaining on the similar line for plantation side?
Cannot comment on the pricing at all. Okay, let's stay with pepper. You're talking about the prices being down. I also mentioned that the Karnataka Planters Association is working with the government to stop illegal imports. If that happens, markets can spurt. So we don't know which way the prices are going to move. We are very clear. Again, I keep repeating, we have to ensure quality product. We have to ensure sustainability. We have to ensure customer service is right so that we maximize whatever is in our control.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Jain from Mirae Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Just to dwell a bit more on 8 o'clock, I mean.
Speak a little louder, please.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Just to dwell a bit more on 8 o'clock, if I look into sequentially.
Excuse me, this is the operator. I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Jain, may we request you to use the handset, please? Your voice is feeble.
Yeah. Hello? Yeah. Just to drill a bit more on 8 o'clock, if I look into sequentially also, there has been dip in the margins despite of currency depreciation benefit flowing through. So if you can help us out, I mean, exactly, let's say, how much cost is getting built into the system and why exactly currency depreciation benefit is not getting translated into the operating profit line item for 8 o'clock?
Yeah, so the overall, see, I think as we explained, the K-Cups, the distribution has been taken over to some to large extent. So that obviously is going to take some time. So I think we are comparing maybe, you know, if some phase which is in transition, which may take some more time. There's also additional cost which is getting built in inbuilt because of distribution and promotions. So which are, you know, sometimes it is all depends on the facing issues and all that. Maybe by end of the year, financial year, maybe for the whole year, we could look at in a more holistic manner.
Sure. But eventually, let's say with this change in the route to market after this K-Cup renegotiation, I mean, contract change, let's say, I mean, absolute sales level, let's say, I mean, right now we are clocking almost $40 million quarterly sort of a run rate for 8 o'clock. So where can we see the benefit on the top line bit because of this change in the route to market?
Are you asking for a number?
That's impossible to predict. We can't predict, but obviously you have seen the, you know, in terms of the improved, you know, top line, which is just flowing through. So obviously now it's to manage, the challenge is now of course to manage the other value chain aspects in terms of the promotions and costs. So that then, that will probably be the sort of, you know, way to address the issue.
No, but let me put it in this other way. The sort of investment you are making in the infrastructure, just to make the similar absolute EBITDA, let's say, which you have clocked in fiscal year 17,48 o'clock, what sort of a top line will be needed to go back to that absolute EBITDA number with the kind of investment we are making?
So I don't think, I think it will, we may not be able to give you a, you know, a ballpark answer to this, because obviously there are variables playing in terms of the promotions and facing. So I think the overall we have to look at in terms of of how quickly we can sort of, you know, wrap up the distribution and move.
Yeah. Again, this is a very mathematical question as for what a break-even is going to be. You can know the margin structure. If you extrapolate that, you will know what turnovers are required. Like Venkat has mentioned, our focus clearly is to gain distribution points, get more food put into the market, manage our promotion so that the business going forward is significantly healthier.
What does it, structurally promotional intensity has gone up? That's why, let's say, some bit on the gross margin bit, we are seeing some sort of a pressure out there.
In every of our quarterly results, that the entire U.S. market is very, very competitive, and the private label is increasing, and strong brands are investing more. So it's in a very competitive space, you're right. Which is why it makes it all the more sense taking on direct distribution in a competitive environment is so much better, because our direct customer reach improves.
Sure. Okay. And second bit on this exceptional item for this quarter, you have mentioned that some non-core assets has been monetized. So can you exactly let us know the quantum, the nature of that that particular asset?
It's a, you know, some kind of surplus asset, this land we have disposed of.
Surplus land?
Yeah.
You mean? Okay. Okay. And third bit, if I look into an exceptional for last couple of quarters, there has been trend to of exceptional cost pertains to this change in the market transaction and all that. So will that continue, like going ahead, for how long we are?
No, I think if you are looking at consolidated, there will be some exceptional due to, you know, redundancies and all that.
Yeah, correct. So correct.
That's obviously correct. Some, you know, we are, I think there was some mention about you know, little bit of, you know, shared service, etc., which is coming through. So that, you know, I don't think it's going to be a, you know, a recurrent feature.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayant Omania from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to understand, when the coffee prices are 12 years low, the plantation business will not do well, that is understood. But we should gain on the branded sales, because in spite of 12 years low prices, our raw material to sales ratio has gone up from 45% to 53% as compared to corresponding quarter.
No,
so why we are not able to take advantage of the lower prices? And what will be the situation if the price started going up in the U.S. market?
You are talking of the consolidated or the standalone?
Yeah, consolidated.
See, consolidated, you see, I think some quarters back also this was asked. See, they, normally all these roasters, you know, typically carry longer inventories. Okay, so when the prices start declining, it will take some time for them to get the full benefit. So I can tell you for the quarter there has been little, you know, some benefit has been there, but obviously over a period of time we'll have to wait and see. Because I don't think, you know, if you expect the each quarter, you know, to sort of reflect fully the lower terminus, it may not happen. Because they, since they also carry longer inventories, the benefit is usually taken, felt over a couple of quarters.
So do you mean to say this quarter we have taken a hit from inventory valuation?
Correct. Normally they will have inventory because of the longer inventories they hold.
But will it be possible to raise the price when the coffee prices goes up?
No, that will depend again on what what the competition does. So obviously over some time, you know, there are pack mixers and all that on which there could be a decision to improve prices.
So actually there is a substantial rise in purchase of stock in trade in previous quarter and this quarter. So after our commencement of Vietnam plant, will that be supplied from that plant or this will continue?
There's no connection at all because Vietnam is going to be completely soluble coffee, which is a freeze-dried plant. 8 o'clock is having, the 8 o'clock business is into all these, you know, bags and private label and K-cups. And they source Arabica from Latam countries.
Sir, during the quarter, there is a around 6 to 7% fall in the employee cost. So, how that was
consolidated or standalone? You're saying?
Yeah, both in consolidated as well as standalone. Around 6 to 7% fall in employee cost.
So, as I explained, some amount of shared service in US has led to some savings, and in domestic also we have been very sort of, you know, cautious on the recruitments and what's happening around the staffing cost. So generally cost control has been very tight.
Sir, in this other comprehensive income, there is exchange difference translating income of 46 crore. In close 9, second part.
That's largely the exchange, you know, 65 versus currently 72.
Acha.
Yeah. That's the translation.
But how that figure has come actually?
No, that's
consolidated coffee only or?
No, it will be largely consolidated coffee. We have only one operating subsidiary which is consolidated coffee.
Uh-huh.
Vietnam is just, you know, it's not commenced production asset.
So in that high court, stamp duty matter in the high court which is remanded back, so what will be the approximate liability for that?
We have the assessment is yet to see, as we explained, this is some kind of a, you know, preliminary kind of evaluation which they are doing. So that's where it is. So we have no other, you know, information at this time to share because this has relates to some 2005-06 acquisition of tea and coffee estates. And it's all very transparent transactions and all that. We have to go and explain to them. So at this stage, we have no further information.
Okay. Sir, in balance sheet, there is an investment in property.
Mr. Mamani, may be requested to come back in the queue for a follow-up, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Jain from ValueQuest Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, how much volumes we did in instant coffee business in Q2 in absolute terms?
See, we don't normally give these absolute volume terms, I'll tell you one thing. So it's about our capacity is in the range of around 8,500 tons average. So we'll have to take on that basis because we don't want to give absolute volume numbers.
Okay, so at what utilization we are operating at in India as of now in instant coffee business?
We are at 100%. The point is FDC, as we explained, FDC we are doing extremely well. Spray is there where could we see, it's all, you know, many a time it's all a stock, either the spray could be stock to order, and other FDC, etc. will be order, once the order comes, the stock is executed. So generally it is, whatever is the maximum capacity is we operate at.
Okay. And sir, as of now, how the capacity is split between spray and freeze-dried in India?
Out of the total 8,500, 9,000 tons, we have around 2,000 tons of spray. FDC, freeze dried, and the balance will be between Aglo and spray.
Okay. Thanks. That was useful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rishabh Sheth from Karma Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Rishabh here. I have actually a very, very simple question. You know, if you look at the business over the last many years, has been producing suboptimal ROEs, less than 10% ROE the business has been producing. I just want to know if, you know, what kind of a thought goes through, you know, the management team in terms of how you think that you can improve the ROEs in this business. Because, you know, it's been a long time, you know, yeah, 1 year is something else, 1 year is sludge. You know, how do you think that we can eventually improve structurally, or do you think that structurally the ROEs of this business will remain at suboptimal, maybe 10% level or less than 10% level?
an interesting question, Rishabh. Let me address it before and then I hand it over to Venkat for any financial whatever might be coming in. Yes, what you're saying is true. The fact is our business is in the commodity phase. We are commodity businesses. Everything in the last 2-3 years of our discussions in our analyst calls has been, A, how do we sweat our assets to the maximum? And wherever we are, how do we get more revenue per acre from our plantations? Let me address that first. So if I start with plantations, this entire investment going into pepper is to help build revenue per acre from our product, from our land which we hold. The entire move to premiumize our coffees, which has gone into our micro lots, which has gone into a single estates, getting revenue for our certifications, has all been to get enhanced revenues for our products. So that is where all the effort is going to generate more income per acre of land that we hold. Similarly, if we go into our instant coffee businesses, to ensure the higher end of our businesses are running chock-a-block, entering markets which are geographically stronger in terms of profitability and identifying those and moving into those areas, getting into blends with customers to ensure there is a stronger revenue generation, going direct, moving out of and getting into disintermediating is moving around that area. And now with the entire move coming into Vietnam, which significantly further enhances the margin. So that is the effort that has been happening to build business for the company.
So, I mean, my question, I mean, I don't need a timeline, but I just, my simplistic question is, you know, when do you think that over the next 2 years, 3 years, when do you think that the business can come to a reasonable ROE? Or do you think that, as you rightly said, maybe the structurally the business is commodity and, you know, can never reach, you know, say a mid-teen kind of ROE? So I just, that's my very simple question to you, because I think the lot of capital employed is actually not in plantation, because that must be at the historic value. A lot of it must be 8 o'clock and other value-added stuff that you would have bought. So I just want to know, I mean, can these acquisitions that you made or whatever shift that you're doing to value-add, can it lead to a meaningful ROE in 2 to 3 years' time or not?
So obviously, if the entire production of Vietnam, 5,000 tons of freeze-dried, is going ahead, which is at the higher end of the business, it is clearly to demonstrate a higher return on capital that is being invested.
So you think that the incremental investment in Vietnam, of course, will sort of pull up the ROEs, but of course that investment will also come in. And the existing shift in your business can maybe in 2 to 3 years' time meaningfully shift ROEs up in terms of the overall business as well, right?
So Rishabh, let me step back. Every investment in an organization is critically looked at whether it's value accretive.
Right.
You would not go into an investment which is value destroying. All right, and that you would also appreciate.
No, but I understand that. But if you look back, the history of the business is not proving that, right? The history of the business is proving that whatever capital that you have employed till now is not generating sufficient ROE. So I presume, yes, you are right, that, you know, going forward you are making investments which will sort of bump up the ROEs. But the history doesn't suggest that the whole thing.
I'm saying on the fact that you're in a commodity business, which is, I've tried to explain to you what efforts we are making to move, distance ourselves from commodity business, to stabilize those kind of earnings in the plantation, and what we are doing on the instant coffee side to move it significantly up the value chain. These
right.
are the fundamentals in restructuring the business on that track.
Right. So you think that with this new investments and the shift in trajectory of your existing business, there can be a significant shift in ROEs over the next 2 to 3 years, right?
We certainly hope to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
Thank
point
you.
Is, I think the difficulty is probably is that, so we have an agri business which is into all these plantations which go through their own cycles, you know, because the terminals and there is the, you know, issue around the agroclimatic conditions, crop and all that. So that is one set of business. The other set is this value-added businesses which are more, you can say, you know, somewhere you know, towards the branded side of the business. So somewhere in between. So that's a kind of private label business we pack and all that. That's a, you know, that's a bulk commodity business, some amount of SKUs and all that. So that obviously, see, if you see, the company has grown inorganically. There has been, you know, acquisitions over past. The instant coffee facility in India has been acquired, and now the Vietnam. So obviously, there are, you know, the business has to be looked in that sense. Then there's the 8 o'clock element, which is more stable in a sense. But obviously, you know, again, it also goes through its own as typical of a branded business. So that if you look at the pockets of this, then in certain years, if everything does, you know, both the instant coffee and the commodities do badly, then obviously the ROEs get impacted. But there have been certain years in which we have done well, like 2016, 17 has been an exceptionally good year.
So let me also add to one more point before we move further. If you take the businesses 2-3 years back and you want to look 2-3 years in the future, the same land of coffee which we have will produce a lot more pepper, and that itself is a distinct step change in terms of plantation profitability. 2-3 years from now, with the freeze-dried running full capacity in Vietnam, that's a step change in profitability for instant coffee. There's no other thing to better explain what the future of the business is.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, on the Starbucks side, you mentioned that you are expanding some roasting capacity. Can you just share some more as to, you know, what kind of numbers in terms of capacity expansion or what kind of growth and how would it help the
company? I would not want to talk about numbers and stuff like that. But clearly, you know what the expansion is happening in the stores on Starbucks, and that is therefore volumes are moving up, and what capacities we have are going to run out, and therefore we need to invest to continue support the business which is growing.
So Starbucks for us, the Starbucks stores in India, they have been growing and they have been doing well. So with keeping in the midterm kind of growth what they will possibly have, with the intention is to expand the capacity. So that has been a very healthy and very, very strong relationship for us, which is growing profitably.
Okay. So this expansion is expected immediately, or what? It's going to take some time, or
maybe
how?
In a year, because there is some lead times and all that, it could take possibly in a year.
In a year's time. Okay. So second on the, this, you know, you mentioned that, you know, the prices are at 12-year low and the Brazilian production is very high. So what is it that you believe that would reverse this number? You mentioned that there is some signals that are indicating that the prices are probably reversing. So what are the factors that you believe would affect the reversal of the price?
You understand in the commodity there are on years and off years. Okay, and this is the on year for the Brazil, for the Arabica in Brazil. Therefore, it's a record production that is happening. These are cyclical commodities. That's number one.
Right.
Number two is the fact that the currency exchange rates in Brazil also impact if it depreciates or appreciates, and that is currently appreciating, which is also reflecting, therefore, in the moving upwards of the prices of the terminals. So a lot of factors are impacting the pricing of terminals. Currently, I mentioned there was a historical low. That was about a month back. I also mentioned simultaneously that over the last 2-3 weeks, we are seeing a reversal of the trend. So
right.
Currently, let's say Arabica, which was running at about 100 pounds about a month and a half back, is up to 120 already. So this is cyclical pricing that keeps happening.
Okay. And so last thing on the financials, there is one item which is investment property in the balance sheet. What would be that?
No, this is a commercial space which we have in Chennai.
Okay.
Yeah. And Coffee has all these, you know, very valuable land and properties, so these are all, you know, reflected in its places.
Yeah, no, like 149 crore to 51 crore,
a small amount,
but just wanted to know what that is.
Yeah,
and in the capital WIP on the consolidated, we understand that there will be Vietnam thing.
But on the
standalone thing, there is a 36 crore to 46 crore. So what is that on the standalone capital WIP?
No, this will be, you know, so these will be, you know, balance flats. No, see, what happens is the biological produce and those get valued, no, for us.
Acha, so that's capital WIP in standalone is the That.
So there are two, three aspects. One, there is a local capex which will always be there. We spend around 20-25 crores on annual capex which will be there to the extent of not completed. And there will be better plans which are also there.
So more of a routine one.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, okay. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jagwani from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. This Vietnam plant, what kind of capacity utilization are we expecting from FY20?
So this first year, Rahul, the point is we are expecting the commercial production to start somewhere in February, you know, that for the first quarter of next year. So obviously the first quarter, I don't think it's, you know, right to look at it. So maybe 2020 onwards, the capacity ramp up will happen. So obviously I'm, you know, gradually over the next two odd years, it should be in sort of, you know, nearing 100%.
I'm repeating, it's in our interest to ensure the fastest ramp up to maximize capacity, which is why a lot of work is happening on customer and brand development right now.
Okay, so that's correct. I mean, sir, 100% capacity, what's the peak revenue it can generate? I mean, assuming today's prices.
See, roughly around 400 crores or there. That's what we estimate, roughly.
And that also depends on market pricing and stuff like that. But
yeah, I'm saying assuming today's prices. Okay. Yeah. Okay, okay, thanks.
Mr. Jagwani, do you have...
Yeah, I'm done. Sure.
Thank you. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from Securities Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir,
just speak louder, please.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. This is quite a basic question, and since I'm attending the call for the first time, if you can just help me understand on this 8 o'clock coffee, the changes which we have brought in terms of the change in the route to market and all. If you can just help me with what exactly are we doing and why have we brought in this change? What was the earlier model of distribution and how has that been changed now, and what were the lapses which we were finding in earlier model which we plan to cover up with this new model?
Let me give a simple answer for this. Earlier, the distribution was done through Keurig. Over the last 1 year, we have renegotiated that and taken over the distribution directly, which largely makes us far better control of the product availability and access to market. So in simple words, that is what we are trying to do, is to take ownership of it and move it to the market.
Okay, so to one of the earlier participants, you said some of the cost in the 8 o'clock which we are doing might not be repeated over a period of time. So some of it would be...
No, that is exceptional, Rahul. Nikhil. So the question on exceptionals, I think there was some question on, you know, redundancies and all that. That is what I mentioned, that it will not be recurring. On K-Cup and the distribution and all that, it's a, you know, kind of... Yes, a business which looks typically rather than FMCG or a branded business. So obviously there will be distribution costs when you take over the business, the normal promotions and stuff like that.
Let me add to that. You're also right. There will be a component which is a one-time market entry expense, which will not be there in the future.
Okay. So to that extent, our margins are subdued because of that one-time cost, which then over a period of time will become a regular cost for us. Not to that high elevated levels.
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, sir, if you can just help me understand, like, if we look at 8 o'clock roadmap over the 3 or 5 years with this distribution change and the brand which we have, how do you see the roadmap for the brand over the 3 to 5 years? Like, do we see a significantly higher market share gain in the U.S.? What do we build in over a period of time with this brand?
That's a very large question which you have asked. what we need to appreciate and understand is strategically every company would want to maximize market share to the extent they can, and all the actions we have taken thus far are to gain distribution points, visibility in store, which drive market share, consumer optics.
Hmm. So my point is, like, we, since the time we've acquired this brand, and if I look at the evolution of the brand in terms of top line and the, so all these years, what were the issues which you saw, and why, what gives you the confidence that probably now we believe that the growth or the gaining market share in the coffee business in US would be much more strongly done by us? So I'm just trying to understand what structural changes which we have brought in the market which gives us the confidence is probably this 40 million run rate can actually go to 60 or 65.
That's an interesting question which you're asking. You have to understand and appreciate there's a time and a place for a particular strategic move that is made. When the entire business began, there was a need to work along with them. We've reached a stage where we now think the next bump up on distribution and customer reach can happen far better when we take control of it. So it's actually a timing of the business and what were the requirements at a particular moment of time when these strategic decisions were taken. No strategy can stay constant. It is almost like saying that India in the past, we didn't have Vietnam. What has changed to get Vietnam going? Strategically, options are emerging and markets are emerging, which is why changes are being taken place.
Okay, and but at the end of the day, if we look at the brand score in US for 8 o'clock, is it still like, because I don't know about too much about it, but so how do you see the brand scores in US for the brand as such?
If you say brand score, what does that mean?
So in terms of the brand recall and the repeat trials or
so
the
therefore
repeat,
in the markets 8 o'clock is strong. It is very strong, and our attempt is to grow that, build distribution, take it across.
Okay. Okay. And lastly, on the freeze-dried capacity. Now, since some quarters back and even our competitors are saying that the capacities which are coming up in the market are quite significant over next 6 or 9 months. But at the same time, you said that the value addition or the ROE bump-ups will happen because freeze-dried is at a much better margins, which is also a play on the demand supply and the pricing. So do you see that the margins will not be too impacted as against the base case when we created, when we thought of ideation of the project to now, the base case of the margins are still intact, or do you think that the margins would get hampered over at least 1-2 years because of the capacities?
So when we did the base case for the project, we were very conscious of the demand-supply situation that was projected over the 5-10 year horizon. Very clearly, demand growth is outstripping supply year on year with capacity addition. Yes, what will happen is in the immediate future, the gap between demand and supply will narrow. But again, after that, the gap is going to increase dramatically.
Okay. So you believe that this incremental the capacities will be consumed in pretty quick period of time. So the business economics will...
That is what the projections by global institutes are telling us.
And based on your interaction with the clients, do you see the similar... So based on your interaction with the customers and the type of demands or feedback you would be getting from the customers, do you sense a similar confidence?
So the customer excitement is very high just for the sheer fact that Tatas are getting into this venture in Vietnam is a source of high value to customers for sheer integrity and quality standards we bring to the business. So yes, what you're saying is true. There is excitement among customers we are working with for getting brand development and working very, very closely to build those associations.
Okay. And lastly, do we get a tax benefit on this plant?
Yes, we do get benefit. We are in a, yeah.
So it will be 0% for 10 years, is it?
So there is some slab, but we are definitely getting a tax benefit.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. A lot of incisive questions have come to us, and I do hope we have shared enough to answer all the queries that have come our way. We are very, very excited about Vietnam coming up. We are also exceedingly excited with all the efforts we have built in getting customer-driven, building our relationships for our existing businesses going forward, and hope for a very good years, quarters coming forward, and get Vietnam off the ground rapidly. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.